You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. Many studies show the persistent disparities Black Americans face when it comes to health and well-being. But one portion of that population is less understood, including here in the First State. This week, Delaware Public Media's Abigail Lee examines what we know and don't know about Black girls' well-being in Delaware and what can be done to produce positive change for them.
If you're looking for answers about how Black girls are faring day to day, you're going to have to put in some work.
Is there data, yes, about Black girls in various segments? Yes, but not all in one location. And again, bits and pieces and along with everyone else, not something that was dedicated specifically to the lives of Black girls.
That's Charisse Brewington Carr, past president of the National Coalition of 100 Black Women's Delaware chapter. She's also one of the co-leaders of the State of Our Union, Black Girls in Delaware, a first-of-its-kind study published in 2021 examining the daily lives and well-being of Black girls ages 10 to 19, covering topics like self-image, experiences of racism, support systems, and safety. The study's lead researcher, Katrina Morrison, a policy scientist at the University of Delaware, says the study wasn't meant to cover everything.
The Black girl population might sound like a monolith, but they are not.
The report found Black girls in Delaware face persistent disparities in mental health, education, and safety, and struggle to build resilience, aspirations, and support networks. But 4 years later, many of those challenges remain, and Morrison says meaningful progress to address them has been limited.
As far as a visible kind of policy that would hold folks across the state accountable to ensuring the health and well-being of Black girls, I don't see that, and I'd like to. So if that was my bar of how to measure if there's enough, I would say no.
Wilmington City Council member and founder of the Black maternal health advocacy group Black Mothers in Power, Shanae Darby, agrees.
There hasn't been any policy, or after this report was published, there hasn't been like a great movement to like address some of these things specifically for Black girls.
Where the state has acted recently, the focus has largely been on Black women. For example, House Bill 313 passed last year makes sure all women in prison are checked for breast cancer every year or 2 years. Delaware has also taken steps to address Black maternal health, including expanding Medicaid coverage for doulas and implementing policies to improve maternal care, an effort aimed at combating racial disparities in maternal mortality. But these efforts don't necessarily speak to the needs of Black girls. To do that, there's a consensus that more data is needed. While the State of Our Union Black Girls in Delaware study provides some information to build on, Darby believes more concerted efforts are needed to develop additional meaningful data on Black girls and the issues they face.
If you look at a lot of research and studies, Black girls are least likely to be heard, seen, talked about, looked for.
Morrison concurs, noting the lack of data on both Black women and girls has been recognized but overlooked for decades.
It's how we fill that gap and recognizing that, you know, Black girls, their identities rest at this place of like interlocking oppressions, and that needs particular attention.
But co-chair and co-founder of the Haitian Coalition of Delaware, Kata Dariska, warns against waiting for data to seek solutions.
It's sort of like a moot point in a way. And I hate to say it because not having data should not invalidate someone's experience. Having data is vitally important for us to find solutions. It's not the chicken or egg. It's just both eggs. We just need both. Because without the data, we don't have the numbers to show these are the amount of people being affected. This is why we need funding.
One area where there is some data to help start a conversation is the need for spaces where Black girls feel safe and connected. Schools don't seem to provide that. The U.S. Government Accountability Office reports that Black girls receive more frequent and harsher discipline in schools than other girls. The same goes for Black girls in Delaware, according to the State of Our Union report. Dariska says Black girls need the space and grace to just be themselves.
If Black girls and students are provided a safe space to be who they are, and it is nurtured positively, and they are given resources, or even the opportunity to ask for resources, it changes the trajectory of their lives And it also impacts their self-esteem, their mental health, their emotional health.
UD's Morrison agrees creating spaces for Black girls is essential.
That's what I'd like to see, like more programs that help Black girls feel safe and belong, more spaces that help Black girls feel safe and belong and connect with one another, and possibly even some local bills that make sure certain things are put in place to help them feel safe and feel welcome.
Brewington Carr argues having safe spaces can help eliminate negative and unrealistic expectations of Black girls.
I think every Black woman, a Black girl would want is just free to be who they are in and of themselves with, again, telling authentically from our own stories versus, you know, someone else assuming what the role should be.
Darby notes a key part of creating these safe spaces for Black girls is asking them where they spend their time.
We can't say we're creating a program and then expect Black girls to come running. And we got to go to them. We got to go to those TikToks. We got to go to the schools. We got to go to where they are in the community center. We got to figure out where they're shopping at.
But creating pockets of safety through community initiatives and organizations is only a start. A comprehensive sense of safety needs to be backed up with legislative action on the local, state, or federal level.
As it relates to Black girls, around the adage of diversity, equity, and inclusion, everything that we learned in this data indicated to us that things are not equitable.
And efforts to develop that equity now face another potential obstacle. Since coming back into office, the Trump administration has made a series of moves targeting programs and practices promoting equity. Most notably, a January 20th executive order labels DEI programs as, quote, discriminatory and illegal, mandating that all federal government entities terminate DEI initiatives, offices, and positions, along with equity-related grants or contracts. A federal judge recently blocked that order, but DEI-related programs on all levels face uncertainty as that legal battle plays out. The Trump administration's effort to freeze federal payments for grants and assistance could also hinder work by local nonprofits on these issues, leaving the Haitian Coalition of Delaware's Dariska concerned about the future.
It worries me that marginalized communities will not receive the support that they need. It worries me that people will go into the shadows and in a space where some people are already losing, we're already losing, and we were working towards reclaiming or highlighting or building resources for communities, that is essentially being all torn down.
Wilmington Councilwoman Darby says that means redoubling support for community organizations across the first state that focus on Black girls.
I have always seen girl programs that exist for girls to be a part of, to talk about self-confidence and love. And so, like, internally in our community, we have always created things that supported Black girls.
And these groups are not hard to find. Several are stepping up to support Black girls, including the National Coalition of 100 Black Women and Black Greek organizations within the state. Dariska says the best way forward is to turn to these and other local support systems that already exist.
In a space where the things happening at the federal level are out of our control, some of our control, right? Leaning into your community is vitally important. Leaning into trusted individuals within your community, leaning into your friends, leaning into your family, leaning into community organizations or people in your community that you can really have genuine conversations with, build with, and be able to vent with, but then also be able to organize with is important.
Abigail Lee, Delaware Public Media.
Thanks, Abigail. Up next, Arts Playlist, where we head to Wilmington to preview the Center City Chorale's upcoming concert promoting connection and community. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.